Hello again. This is the old, old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney. And this is program 31 in a 260-part series on things that happened and about people who caused things to happen in this area over the past 50 years. The program follows the material covered in a 25-year series over the station by the great Frank L. Fitzsimmons, which was covered in his three-book series, From the Banks of the Ocklawaha. Friday, we told you about how glad folks were with the growth of the fresh Glad market, and we'll tell you today how it disappeared. Folks involved in agriculture locally will tell you of how richly this area has been blessed with the rich, dark, loamy soil, especially in the Mills River Valley. The folks at Carolina Roses and the Van Winkertons were aware of the fine Four Seasons climate of this area also, before they headquartered their giant flower operations here. But way back 50 years ago, Howard C. Tate knew it when he started raising supreme quality specimen gladioli to sell to the quality florist shops in the South. And where Mr. Tate started with 10, 20, 40 acres, other growers, seeing his success, quickly joined in, and in 1952, a record-setting 250 railway express carloads of fresh glads were harvested here in the county and shipped via railway express to Louisiana, New York, Texas, Wisconsin, all points in between. By the way, this Howard Tate is the maternal grandfather of Alan Reese, who has been with WHKP. Now, Howard Tate built his business dedicated to providing perfect flowers without defect to the quality florist shops in the Southeast. But a phenomena began to emerge and be noticed by many of the more entrepreneurial glad growers, and that there were more homeowners who wanted to grow glads than there were florists wanting to buy the flowers. So these growers began to grow glads purely to produce bulbs to sell to homeowners and garden shops. Of course, they still wanted any revenue they could gain from the sale of the flowers, but this income was secondary to the sale of the bulbs. And as the quality of the flowers declined, the more generous these entrepreneurs were, with especially wholesale floral distributors. Even without firm orders, these local glad growers would ship on consignment, boxes and boxes of glads, for the most part run of the field, and two things happened. One, the market became glutted, and the price of glads dropped to a level which growers like Howard Tate simply couldn't produce and still pay the costs of growing. Henderson County became known as a source for bulk, low-priced, distressed glads, which only aggravated the glut. Mr. Tate, to survive, kept trying to find ways to lower his costs. He, as president of the Hendersonville Gladiolus Growers Association, was able to wring concessions from Railway Express, which did lower the cost of shipping to match the lowest shipping charges anywhere in America. But the mad hunger for the big bucks in selling the bulbs became prevalent all over the country. And some high-flying growers in other states became totally dishonest in their quest for a fast buck. In this period of time, here at WHKP, we received an order from an advertising agency in Los Angeles for a glad bulb farm in Oregon, and we were sent copy advertising 100 gladiola bulbs for something like $6.95. In those years, local stations rarely received orders for campaigns from agencies. And if you did get an order, it was a plum prize, because even with agency discounts, the rate was higher and it was fresh money coming into your market. Plus, we didn't even reason of what a preposterous offer this was, 100 bulbs for $6.95. About a week later, the industry's trade magazine, Broadcasting, ran a feature story exposing the glad growers as being a total fake, a sham, a con game. Well, we tried everything we knew on how to catch and corral all the orders that had been mailed from this area. Someone someday may want to write a book on how difficult it is to get the post office to stop delivery of mail once it's posted. Something the average person doesn't know also is that no newspaper or periodical can be held responsible for the truth of any advertisement it runs. I discovered this when I answered a scam ad in the National Observer newspaper. They didn't deny the ad was false. They merely relied on the defense it was not their responsibility to check the veracity of any advertisement before it's printed. And the same, of course, would apply to radio advertising. But even had we known that back then, we would have done exactly what we did do. we saturated the air with announcements that if you had been a victim of this scam, ordering 100 Glad bulbs for $6.95, merely bring to us a copy of your check or postal receipt, and we would refund every penny out of our own pockets. Broadcasters from other parts of the country sometime have been astounded by the strong role WHKP has played and does play in this community. They want to know what it is that makes your station stand out so much more than stations in other towns, and there's one reason only, integrity. Whether it's in news or in advertising, we will never permit anything to be broadcast that sacrifices our integrity. Many other stations don't feel that strongly, and as more and more people got took with Glad offers from supposed growers and nurseries, the public lost faith, and they now buy only from long-established bona fide sources. And now the great operators like Van Winkerden and Carolina Roses can grow flowers under totally controlled climatic conditions, which provides simply a top-quality product on the very day the florist wanted. But the sights of those fields of acres and acres of gorgeous glads, a memory never to be forgotten by the seventh child, lucky enough to be born here, had the good sense never to leave and with a job he's loved all his life. Sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.